Turn in your Bible this morning in the Word of God to Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to read a portion of God's Word there. You know, in about 33 A.D., this coming Friday, been nearly 2,000 years that the Son of God, as the Lamb of God, was led out to Calvary to be crucified. Not for anything he had did, but because of what he did for us. In 27, look down at verse 45 of Matthew's Gospel. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabathi. That's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood there, when they heard that, say, this man calleth for Elias, that is Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. When he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. That means he dismissed his own spirit from his body. They didn't kill him. He dismissed his own spirit. And when he did that, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. May God bless the reading of his word. I want to talk about what Christ's death accomplished with you today. Loving God, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the record we have of when the Lamb of God volunteered to go to the cross to pay for the sins of all mankind, and that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. Thank you for the grace of God that has so provided that though whoever believes the gospel and believes in the one that took our place and paid our debt, that they will be forgiven of all of their sins and have eternal life and live in heaven for eternity. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The death of the Son of God is unlike any death that has ever happened. Never been a death like that. Been a lot of people died, but none like Jesus. None like Jesus. There's nothing to compare to it. Only his resurrection would overshadow his death. What people did not know was this was ordained by God from before the world was ever made. That's amazing to me. That before there was ever man, before there was a universe, God knew every one of us. That's amazing. He knew every one of us. He knew everything about every one of us and about everyone in the world. And God planned and ordained that his only Son would come and pay for man's sin because he knew man would sin. Boy, I tell you what. Nothing catches God by surprise. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, sometimes we get surprised, don't we? But not God. He knew what was going to happen to his great creation. So God ordained that Jesus would die on the cross, as we've just read from the Holy Scriptures. Personally, myself, I believe it. I hope you do. I believe what the Scripture says. Jesus was the first man to ever come from another world. Think about that. Jesus was the first man who ever lived who did not offend God. Think about that one. He was the first man who could cause the wind and the sea to obey him. Amen. Think about that one. He was the first man to know everything about everybody. Amen. A lot of people know about my business that I don't even know about. Amen. But amen. Yeah. He was the first man who could walk on water. Think about that one. He was the only man who could forgive sin. Nobody else can forgive sin, but this man could. Wow. Boy, that offended the Pharisees when he would forgive somebody their sin. They said, only God could do that. Sure, I agree with that, but he was God. Amen? He was the only person who could give eternal life to someone. And he's still the only person that can do it. Yet he died by the hands of the wicked for sinners. This one, like no other one, died by the hands of wicked men for sinners. Died for the very ones that was putting him to death. And even some of them were saved, we understand. He's been falsely accused and condemned to die upon a cross. One of the most horrible ways for a person to die. The hatred towards him is like no other person, I suppose. Back then, and even today, there are peoples that hate Jesus Christ. They hate him. Even the Jews, many of them hate him vehemently. And yet he had healed their people. He fed the multitudes. He'd even raised the dead. But now they've turned against him and demand he be crucified. Demand. He's the one who loves everyone. And people fail to respect him. He loves everybody, but most people, even to this hour, fail to respect Jesus Christ, who he is, what he did. Even one of his own betrayed him. Boy, that's the shocking one. One of his own chosen hand-picked men betrayed him. For 30 pieces of silver. When he died, the sun hid its face. Think about that. When I die, nothing won't happen. But when he died, the sun quit shining. Wow. Amen. And darkness covered the land, the Bible says. The earth shook. Oh, it was a violent shaking when Jesus Christ died. God was letting the world know in that day his son was really God. So, when he died, the rocks even broke into pieces, and people that have been to where Golgotha's at say even today, those rocks are still there, or they're broken, laying around. The earth shook, the rocks broke, signifying the significance of his death. This was not an ordinary man dying. This was God laying down his life. What a death. And think about it. It took this to get me saved. It took this to get me saved. It took this to get you saved. It took this to get anybody saved. And God so ordained before he made the world that everybody could be saved. Everybody. Did y'all get that? By believing in this one that was crucified. Man doesn't have an excuse. Because God has given us his word. And the heavens declare the glory of God. Let's consider how this death relates to us, because this death is important to us. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for our sin. Amen. That's why he went to the cross, to pay for sin. Sin had to be paid for. Adam sinned against God. And as a result, all the offspring of Adam and Eve would be sinners. And there was no way for us to be justified. Our sin must be dealt with. Our Sunday school lesson was abundantly clear today. All have sinned. There's no goody-goody people anywhere. By God's standard. Now, on a human level, you're goody-goody people, amen? But on God's level, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Listen to what Hebrews said in chapter 10 and verse 12 and 14. Boy, what rich scripture. What great scriptures. What comforting scriptures the Word of God gives us. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. I wish you would just let that sink into your soul today. One sacrifice. His one time dying. Offering up himself for sins forever. Would never need another sacrifice. Under Mosaic law, it was millions and millions and millions of animals offered, and God didn't want a single one of them. They were only pointing to this one man who would offer up the ultimate sacrifice, himself, to pay for the sins of the world. For by one offering, verse 14 says, listen to this. The Word of God says, by one offering, Jesus, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We've been perfected forever. We have been set apart when we accept Christ to be God's people now forever. Nothing will disrupt that. Nothing will undo that. And I feel sorry for these people that lose their salvation that they might never had it to start with. Folks, I believe the Bible. Amen? Let's stay with the Bible. In Hebrews 10, boy, here's another good one. Beginning at verse 7, then said I, Jesus said, lo, I'm coming, the volume of the book is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. Above, when he says, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. I just said that. God got no delight, no comfort out of all those sacrifices in the Old Testament. There were only a foreshadow pointing to the one offering God would accept. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first. He took away the old Mosaic law that he may establish the second, the blood covenant. by the which will we are sanctified, set apart, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once you believe on Jesus Christ, something happened. If you really believe, it's got to go from your head, got to go to your heart. You're trusting Him, depending on Him for your salvation, and you start living for Him. And we've been sanctified. We've been set apart to be the Lord's forever when that takes place. Praise God. The only one who could pay for all of our sin was God in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Think only God Himself could pay for sin. They were so vile and so evil against God that only God could pay for our sin. Wow. Does that sink into your hearts today? It took God. Now, we don't think our sin is so bad, brother. We're good people. Amen. Not to God. You see, that's how holy God is. That's how holy God is. And God wants us to be acceptable to Him. He loves us, even though we're sinners. So He made arrangements to send His Son. His Son was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John said. John 1:14. So He paid for sin. He paid for everybody's sin. That's the amazing thing. Everybody in this world of 7.5 billion people today, everybody's sin's been paid for. Everybody can go to heaven if they believe on Jesus. And God wants everybody to go to heaven if they'll accept His Son. The problem is, only a few will. Only a few will. If you could drive through the community today and see the people at home or at resorts or fishing, have no concern about their soul, no concern about pleasing God, deceived. Deceived. Many of them will think God loves them, yeah, but they don't realize their sin condemns them. Our sin is on Christ. In Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way. This is my life. I'm going to live like I want to. That's the attitude today. People everywhere got this attitude. This is my life. Well, who give you your life? Where'd your life come from? It's still phenomenal to think that a man and woman can come together and have an offspring. But it's God that caused it. It's God that caused it. I was watching some things on TV, and I saw little colts being born, little horses, and cows giving little calves. It's amazing, isn't it? God is the one that gives life. He's behind all that. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I'm looking for Jesus every day myself. I hope you are. I hope you're living expecting Jesus to come. You don't want to be doing something inappropriate when Jesus comes. Amen. 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 I'd like to be sitting in front of my microphone or standing here, one or the other. That'd be my preferences. Amen. Who His own self bore our sins in His own body on the tree, Peter says. Christ, His own self, took all of our sins upon Himself. He agreed for all the sin to be transferred to Him. And the Bible says that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. We're healed by the suffering of Jesus Christ. That's the only way we could be saved. Oh, what a great plan of salvation God has for us, folks, and for everybody. And yet so many people have no interest in it. They do not understand how awful their sin is. How awful their sin is. And we know that he was manifest to take away our sin, John said. He came to take away our sin. And in him is no sin. 1 John 3:5. The world today, most people's rationale today is, I'm a good person. If there is a God, he loves me. If there is a God, he wouldn't send me to hell. That's the attitude today. That's the philosophy of many people today. They don't see themselves as guilty of sin. But God says we've all sinned. God says we've all sinned. I tell you something else Jesus Christ did. Number two, he not only paid for our sin, he broke Satan's power. I like this part too. Amen. He broke Satan's power when he died on the cross. Our enemy and God's enemy was judged and defeated by the death of Jesus upon the cross. You go back to Genesis 3:15, it was prophesied that would take place. The serpent's head would be crushed, but the Messiah's heel would be bruised. Christ was bruised on the cross, so to speak, but Satan was ultimately defeated. God the Father must have rejoiced to see the death of Jesus Christ nail the death blow to Satan, who had once worshipped the throne of God. Oh boy, about to get his due, isn't he? He's defeated. He knows he's been defeated, but he's still trying as hard as he can to keep out of that place called the lake of fire where he's headed. And he's trying to take as many people as possible away from God if he can. And he's doing a good job of it, isn't he? Most people are following Satan and don't even know it. Oh, disturbing. The old foe who had led a rebellion of his angels against God, his doom is now sealed. And it's sealed for eternity. And praise God, when we get to heaven, there's not going to be no devil coming against God anymore. Not going to be any devil or demons bothering the saints of God anymore. We're going to live in a place where there's no evil or wickedness or sin or anything of that nature to disrupt. We're going to live in an atmosphere and an environment of love like we can't even describe. Love is going to be so great. We love our families. We love our friends. We love our brothers and sisters in Christ. But our love is limited. But boy, when we get to heaven, love is going to be so much grander and wonderful. There's not going to be any sin to taint it or tone it down. Boy, the love of God's going to be something, folks. I still say I'm going to have a Baptist fit when I get there. Amen. In Hebrews again, 2:14, I just love Hebrews. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. See, we're born flesh and blood, right? He, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same. Jesus Christ came to this world as a human, but he was God. Wow. Wow, folks. God become human. You believe that, preacher? Oh, sure do. I sure do. Through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Jesus Christ came as a human to break Satan's power. Amen? Amen. Boy, won't that be a day when the devil is finally knocked in the head, amen, forever. Kicked into the lake of fire. In 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. The devil sinned it from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Praise God for Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross for us, folks. For us who were sinners, who was lost, who was blind, who was deceived. We didn't even know our condition. Till we got the Word of God and the Spirit of God to open our blind eyes, folks. Amen. Revelation 20:10. Here's the part I like. Y'all ready for this? And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. That's his home. Where the beast and the false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, this hadn't taken place yet. This is prophesied to take place. And I believe it will be. Amen. I mean, if these other scriptures come true, this one will too. Because Christ defeated him on the cross. Amen. It's a done deal. Amen. The devil who plagued our life with troubles and heartache is doomed forever. Amen. The devil will pay in the lake of fire for every heartache he caused. Has he ever caused you any heartaches? Amen. Has he ever caused you to cry? He's going to pay in hell for every soul he deceived. Boy, he's going to have a lot to pay for, isn't he? He's going to have a lot to pay for. His future is very bleak, and he's fighting as hard as he can to stay out of that place. But in the meantime, he's trying to cause every person he can to miss heaven. Giving them something to do here rather than being in church. Giving them something here to occupy their mind, to keep them out of this book, keep them out of a prayer closet, keep them out of a Bible church. The devil's a busy feller. And he hates God, and he hates man. Think of this, there will never, ever be another devil, folks. Amen? There won't never be another one. Amen. There won't be any one else to disrupt God's plan once he's thrown into the lake of fire. Amen. I wonder, will we get to stand on the sidelines and watch all this, folks? Amen. Thirdly, let's talk about something else. He paid for sin. He broke Satan's power. He also made it possible when he died on the cross for us to access God. In Hebrews 10, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can talk right directly to God by faith in Jesus Christ. We can talk to the creator of the universe. We can talk to the one who is the I Am. We can go right directly to him through Jesus Christ. And his ear is open to hear us, brother. His ear is open to hear us. And we become his dear children because of Jesus Christ. We're now sons and daughters of God. We're not going to be. We already are by faith in Jesus Christ. And as our Sunday school lesson pointed out, God's not dealing with us as sinners anymore here. Not if we've been saved. He's dealing with us as sons and daughters that's been redeemed and blood washed and made acceptable, sanctified. Praise God to be the Lord's people forever, forever. Yeah. The Bible says, in having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise, Hebrews 10:19 through 23. We ought to ever be growing closer to the Lord, becoming more committed to the Lord, learning more and more about the Lord. That's why we come to church. We come to worship the Lord. We come to praise Him today. While we sit here before Him today, we ought to be praising Him, thanking Him, rejoicing in Him for what He's done for sinners to make us acceptable, because we couldn't make ourselves acceptable. A way was open so anyone can approach God through Jesus Christ when Jesus died on the cross. A way was open. A way was made possible to approach God, the Creator. Oh, what grace God has bestowed upon us that we could be called the sons and daughters of God. Oh, we got kings. We got princesses. We got presidents. We got dictators, and they think they're so powerful. And some demand to be almost worshiped. But let me tell you something, folks. There ain't nothing. We're sons and daughters of God. We're of the royal blood. Amen? Amen. By grace, though. Not that we deserved it, but because we believe in the one that took our place and paid our debt. Not only sons and daughters, but we're going to live with Him for eternity. I just wonder how we're all going to get around to meeting Jesus. I know there'll be a way, because God is God. Amen? But it's something to old frail humans like myself to think about, I guess. Yeah. Did you know God has from eternity? Listen to this. God has from eternity longed for His sons and daughters to be with Him. Did you know the Lord's anxious for us to go be with Him? How He's looked forward to the day when we join Him to spend eternity with Him. Won't that be something when He gets all His children home, folks? Won't that be something? If the truth was known, God wants us with Him more than we want to be with Him. How about that? God wants us there more than we want to be there. And I'm wanting a whole lot. Amen. 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 Praise God. The angels of heaven will be shouting and praising God when we get home. Boy, there's billions of angels. Think about what a hallelujah and what singing, what rejoicing those angels have when they see the sons and daughters of God come home. That's going to be a hallelujah time, folks. Boy, can you imagine that? All the billions of angels. And I tell you what, us Baptists are going to be making a racket too. Amen? Amen? Amen. 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 Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. What a celebration is going to take place. Our future that is waiting us is indescribable. David said, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul vanity, nor sworn deceitfully," Psalm 24:3-4. And in Romans 5:2, Paul said, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of glory of God." Boy, it's all ours by faith. We receive it by faith, by believing. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to do anything. And the Bible says that when we believe the Scriptures, He gives us enough faith to believe. Our salvation is entirely and wholly of God. We don't contribute anything. Amen. Ephesians 2:18-4, "Through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." We have access to God because of the death of Jesus Christ. Awesome, folks. Awesome to think about. In Ephesians 3:18, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Revelation 3:8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and thou hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. What a God, and what a plan of salvation to reach sinners. And all that respond will be given this salvation. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's the gift of God who will accept his dear son who suffered on a cross like he did for all of us. Wow. This coming Friday, we call it Good Friday. Good for us. Good for us. Amen. Someone paid for our sin, the Son of God. Furthermore, we're going to be over the angels when we get to heaven. Boy, How are we going to be over the holy angels? But according to the Bible, we're going to be over the angels. Wow. We're going to be serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're going to, as the church, be the bride of Christ. And we will always be with him wherever he is at. Boy, think about it. We'll always be with the Lord. And when he comes back at his second coming at the end of the tribulation time, when he comes back on that white stallion, according to my understanding, the Bible scholars tell us, those other white horses that follow him, that's us-ins. That's not a good word, but it works for me. Amen. We're going to be riding on our white horses. Amen. I always want me a black one, but I'll settle for a white one. Amen. Furthermore, we're going to be over the angels. In Romans 8:17, and if we're God's children, then heirs. We're heirs of God. Listen to that, heirs. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, you're having to suffer some now, aren't you? You're having problems now, aren't you, brother? If we suffer with him, the Bible says that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. Listen to this. This is a good one, folks. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:17-18. All these troubles and trials, and I can't hardly go to save my life, you know, that day. When we get to heaven, we won't remember such days as what we're going through because of, the glory and the inheritance we're going to receive with Jesus Christ, folks. Wow. God has got a great, great future plan for us. Why would anybody want to miss heaven? Tell me, somebody. Why would anybody want to miss heaven? What is in this world that's worth missing heaven? I mean, Jesus said it like this. If you own the whole world, what good is it when you die in less than 100 years? And with Jesus Christ, you're going to live forever and be so much richer and a greater inheritance than if you even owned everything in this world. If you own everything in this world, it is not nothing compared to what we're going to have in heaven. Wow. What a God, folks. And it's accomplished on the cross for all of us who believe. How awful deceit for anyone to think life is better here doing your own thing than being in heaven for eternity with the one that loves you and cares for you. The Bible says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Paid for our sin. Opened a way to heaven. Broke the power of Satan. And now we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth one day. Not going to be any sin in it. A new heaven and a new earth. Peter, in Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven, John writes, and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, that's our home, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. John wrote down this beautiful, beautiful sight. And the best way he could describe it is when a man and a woman is married and they have a big wedding and she's all diked out. I heard Adrian Rogers say the other day in a sermon, said a woman was a girl, a lady was always her prettiest on wedding day. He said, I've never seen any that was ugly. He said, well, maybe one that was almost. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, the Bible says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Think about it, folks. We're going to be living with God. Johnny, can you handle that? Amen. Won't that be something? We're going to be with God, the one that made everything, the one that's got such a, how do you describe it, such a mind that could make all of this. Oh, folks, we're going to be with him. He's going to be with us. Brother Chavis, you scrooch it up over there, son. Amen. God, that's going to be something, folks. And we won't offend him any over there. We won't offend him. We won't do anything wrong. We'll always be in perfect fellowship. Folks, are you going? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He's going to live with us. And he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Honey, you won't cry anymore. There shall be no more death. Won't that be glorious? Amen. In eternity, won't be any more dying. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Folks, it's all ours. Amen. It's all ours. We're fixed to go get it. Amen. We're fixed to have it give to us. Let's say it that way. By the grace of God, because of Jesus' died on the cross to pay for our sin. Peter tells us of the destruction of this present world that's so sin-cursed and so full of sin and evil and wickedness. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, God's keeping them by his word, are kept in store, reserved under fire. They reserved to be melted down against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Can you imagine what a sound that'll be when the heavens pass away, Brother Chavis? I bet it'd be ear-deafening, wouldn't it? Great day in the morning. The Bible says, they shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Everything man has done on this earth will be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. God's going to burn this world down one day. Since we will not be sinners anymore, we will live in a new creation where there will never be sin again. Won't that be great? That is why there will never be any more death, tears, or afflictions again. The only ones inheriting this eternal abode will be those who repent of their sin, who really repent. What does that mean? That means we recognize we're sinners. We ask the Lord to forgive us, and we ask Jesus to be my Savior, and we put our trust in Him. We commit to Him. If you're married, you committed to one another, husband and wife. We commit ourselves to Christ when you're saved. Amen? That's the best illustration I know about. Amen? John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by the Father. Listen, folks, that's one of the most hated verses in the Bible, because people don't believe it. They think there's other ways to God. But according to God, God says, I'm not accepting any other way. Amen. God says, I'm not accepting any other way. You got to come through my Son. It was my Son that paid for the sin. That's what makes it possible. It was on a cross the Son paid for my sin, the sin of all the world, and that whoever would believe in Him. Hebrews 11:6. I got to hear Hebrews one more time. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Church. And Paul said in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The death of Jesus was necessary for our redemption. He paid for our sin. He opened a way to God. He broke the power of the devil. He's made us a new home. Where we're going to live with Him forever. Thank God for the death of Jesus Christ. But it was my sin. Now people say, well, it was the Jews that put Him to death. No, it wasn't. It was me. It was you. We were all guilty. It's the whole human family guilty of the death of Jesus Christ. He died because we were sinners. He came to rescue us. Who would believe in Him? Let's praise Him for the grace of God. Let's thank Him. Let's love Him. Let's serve Him. And one more thing, let's keep sharing Him. And may God bless today. Loving God, thank You for this time, this hour. Lord, our time goes so quick. Lord, thank You for the cross of Calvary, for the Son of God, for the life, the precious life that was laid down that day, for all the suffering He endured. And He experienced it all for me. Thank You, O God. Bless us here at this church. Lord, give us souls. Lord, help us to carry out Your will. And to Thee be the honor, the glory throughout eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. May the Lord speak to bless the hearts today. Listen, you want to come to the altar and praise God for Christ dying on the cross for you? You ought to come pray for somebody that needs salvation. Yeah.